Hello and welcome to an Australian Family Physician online podcast. I'm Zara Margolis. In the April 2014 edition of Australian Family Physician, we explore the topic of challenging life stages. Professor Anne Buist is the author of the article, Perinatal Mental Health, Identifying Problems and Managing Medications in General Practice, which features in this month's journal.
Professor Buist, good morning.
Good morning, Zara.
There is good awareness around postnatal depression amongst both health practitioners and the general community, but perhaps less knowledge of other mental health issues that can affect women in the perinatal period. What are some of those other issues that GPs can play a role in identifying in patients?
Look, the GP is in a really key position because a lot of these things start in pregnancy. And that's kind of the first thing. Don't just think they're postnatal. It does start in pregnancy. And it's often actually anxiety rather than depression. And a lot of the women with so-called postnatal depression don't think they have it because they say, well, actually, I don't feel depressed. It's the anxiety that is the issue. And that can take a lot of forms. It can be quite obsessional, looking a bit like OCD, or it may even be panic attacks. So that would be some of the other ways. And general anxiety disorder, a lot of worries, often a lot of focus on someone I saw just recently where the issue for her was about the list of foods you weren't allowed to eat. And that became a real focus for her to the degree that it became disabling and really impacted on the relationship as well. So it's anxiety would be the other thing. Obviously, you don't want to miss the postpartum psychosis, which is much more rare, and that usually is postnatal. And if you already have a mental health issue, then that also might become destabilised.
And what would you consider to be some of the key risk factors for perinatal mental illness?
Well, if GPs want to refer to the article, there's a table. Table one looks at the risk factors. But the most critical ones are a past history. So if we know their past and family history, if we know if there's a genetic predisposition, that puts you at a much higher risk. And then it's all of the aspects really around that pregnancy and the early postpartum phase. We're a society now where we're often very isolated, and both women and men have expectations that are often a bit unrealistic, and that difference between expectation and reality, how much support is actually needed, can sometimes be quite a shock and not around. These days, you know, women are having babies a little older, and they've had a long period of time when they've got their life in control, and this is quite a big difference in experience, and they're often not used to asking for help, and their mothers may not be available, they may be too old, they may still be working. There's a whole host of issues around not being able to access that sort of help that, you know, a generation or maybe two generations ago was much more readily available because not so many women were working.
So what would you say then would be some of the main barriers to identifying and managing these mental health issues in this population?
Look, probably the women not coming for help is the biggest issue. So if GPs happen to have them for something else, now that might be because it's an obstetric check, so through the pregnancy, or because, and women are very good, much better at doing that, or postnatally coming for immunisations for their babies, or they will often present for sleep problems and other related feeding problems in the baby. So always have a high level of awareness that other presentations may be masking an underlying depression or anxiety disorder. Because women often don't pick that they're depressed. As I said before, they may actually be anxious more so than depressed. But there's still quite a lot of stigma, and particularly stigma because they seem to think, and we've done focus groups on this, the women in their minds somehow think that postnatal depression means they're a bad mother. And in fact, it's often because they're trying hard to be a perfect mother. So it's not in any way related to them not loving the baby or not being a good mum. It's quite unrelated, but that often stops them presenting. So that's really the biggest critical issue. I should mention the postpartum psychosis because that is very dramatic and not usually missed, but it can happen very quickly. So anyone behaving oddly or very agitated or not sleeping, and not because of the baby waking them up, in that early sort of first couple of weeks after getting home, really important to look at them very carefully and see if they might actually have a postpartum psychotic disorder.
And of course, illness during pregnancy and birth presents unique risks for both the mother and child in itself. What are some of these issues that GPs need to consider or keep in mind?
Well, look, the biggest one I think for both the mums and the GPs is medication. And this is outlined in the article that with some fairly straightforward tables about the particular issues. Now, obviously, this is something that you need to keep up to date with, and there are a number of great websites and services, the Royal Women's in Melbourne, and these are referred to in the article as to where you can go for most up-to-date information. But broadly speaking, most medications, particularly antidepressants, seem to be quite safe. So that's the good news, that the risks are not as high as perhaps some of the concerns would suggest. So that certainly with regards to malformation, there's been a couple of articles about other things and the risks of those, such as persistent pulmonary hypertension in the newborn, really seem to be very low risks. The thing that's perhaps worried the GPs most and sort of had a bit of media kind of splashes, you know, autism and some of the longer term effects. There certainly are a couple of articles that are suggesting, and including some research that I'm involved with Megan Galbelli at the Mercy Hospital, looking at antidepressants in pregnancy and the long-term outcomes for the child. And there seems to be a slight risk of some neurodevelopmental delays, but they seem to be pretty minor and not something that's going to be obvious. And then there's this big question mark over autism. But the most recent article that came out about that really suggests it's much more likely that if there is a link, and some of the papers do suggest a link, is that it's a link between autism, the genetics of autism, and the genetics of depression. Because, of course, if you're depressed, you're more likely to be on antidepressants. It looks like that's the link to a slight higher increase in autism, but it's not. It may well be through the genetic link for depression. And the other thing is that we know older mums and older dads, there is a link there with autism, and, of course, a lot of the mums that, are getting older, and they're the ones that get anxious and end up on antidepressants. That's one of group that may be at a slightly higher risk. So when we actually look at the level of risk, it really is very low. And when you balance that against them not being treated, it's much better to keep these women well with whatever it takes. Now, you know, you can certainly start with cognitive behavioural therapy and alternatives to medication. But medication shouldn't be automatically ceased or ignored and just not used because the woman is pregnant, because the risks of being unwell are actually quite significant with exposure to cortisol levels, and it presents also biological risks for the baby.
So advising women on medication that is safe to take during pregnancy, as you mentioned, and breastfeeding, it's an area, you know, fraught with difficulty, not least due to the lack of good evidence in a lot of areas. But can you suggest a framework for GPs that they can use to approach medication management?
Well, I guess the first thing, and this is such a critical thing, is if you can possibly avoid it, do not use sodium valproate or Epilum in women of childbearing age. And that's probably the most important advice to give any GP, because a lot of pregnancies aren't planned, and the one medication that is seriously a risk is sodium valproate. It's up to 17% serious malformations, and then there's up to 60% have an effect on the IQ. So that's the one to avoid, if at all possible. And if you do need to use it, because it does have some, you know, some positive benefits, both with epilepsy, obviously, but also with mood, is to make sure they're on contraception. So beyond that, I mean, planning a pregnancy in anyone with a mental health issue is really critical. And if someone with bipolar disorder is often aware of that, but that's something that GPs can remind. But people with depression, the more planning they do, the better. We see a number of people who do have depression, are on antidepressants, suddenly find out they're pregnant, and either they or the GP decide to stop the medication just immediately. And I'd advise against that. For women really need to go and see their doctor as soon as possible. And yes, probably need to stop the first sodium valproate, but even then needs to look at, you know, what are the risks of stopping it. And with antidepressants, most of them probably don't need to be stopped, but certainly worth thinking about, and maybe the dose could be decreased. Or, you know, maybe that, you know, the woman has been well enough that it is a reasonable time to trial coming off medication.
And are there any other key messages that you would like GPs to take away from your article?
Look, the article was mostly about sort of identification and managing medication. And it was mentioned, but I'd also like to highlight that this is such a unique time when you have the mum in there and they're really highly motivated to be the best mum they can. And so these are the women who will stop smoking, who will try and get on top of their type 2 diabetes, who will try and stop and often succeed, at least for a while, to get off illicit drugs. So this is the time for the high-risk group, perhaps those with drug and alcohol issues and childhood abuse issues, that they're still, you know, they've had chaotic backgrounds and perhaps don't have a great model for parenting, that beyond just managing their depression with medication and psychological therapies, don't forget the baby and don't forget the mother-infant interaction, because all of the stuff around parenting starts off here. If we can get it off to start off on the right foot, then the outcome for this child may be far, far better than if they'd just been ignored in the whole process.
Professor Anne Buse, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Zara.
You can access a full copy of Professor Anne Buse's article, Perinatal Mental Health, Identifying Problems in Managing Medications in General Practice, in the April 2014 edition of Australian Family Physician. You can also access the journal online at www.racgp.org.au/AFP.